Chapter 1 is where we'll be at this morning. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, I'll begin reading in verse 45. Jesus is beginning to gather disciples unto himself at this point. John 1, 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he, that's Jesus, saith unto him, Nathanael, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessed Son. Truly all the blessings that we can receive from you will come through him. Father, we thank you. We praise you for that. I ask, dear Lord, please fill me with your Spirit, preaching and teaching the word today. I ask you, precious Lord, to fill my wife with your blessed Holy Spirit as she relays the message in sign. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful to have had the word gone out already in the adult Sunday school hour, the children's Sunday school hour. We thank you for your Spirit's using those servants and speaking to our hearts, dear God. We thank you. We praise your name. We thank you we could gather in this house. I thank you for each one here. But God, we know that the best part about being here is that you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And so you are here in a special way to bless this meeting. And oh, how we need your touch once again. Moment by moment, God, we need to look unto you. And so, Father, I pray that you would edify the church this morning by your Spirit. Draw us closer to you. Father, if there'd be one lost and here they'd trust you and get saved today, there'd be a Christian backslidden, dear God, that they'd confess that sin and get it right, Father, whatever it might be. Lord, if there'd be encouragement needed, whatever it might need, wisdom needed, Father, meet the needs of your people here this morning and equip us, God, and help us to be lights here in this place that you have planted us in around the world through our missionaries. And Father, we do ask that you'd bless Brother Frank and his ministry here, passing out tracts to the college, fill him with your Spirit, and give opportunities there, Lord, as you would allow. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your blessings and goodness. Meet with us again in that special way. Be glorified, I pray, and pleased with all that we would do. Help us and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message this morning simply, Faith Under the Fig Tree. Faith Under the Fig Tree. We learn some things about Nathanael, one of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 21, on the end of his letter, John shows us that Nathanael was from Cana. In John 21:2, there were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee. So Nathanael was from Cana in Galilee. So where is Cana? Well, it's there are a few locations which historians give Cana. Some place it up here. Let's see. I'm looking for what do you got up there? Some go right along the coast there. We've got Cana right here, and some place that I'm looking. I guess Tyre and Sidon are up north, farther north of there. And some have a couple of locations that they put it up farther on the coast there, put it around Tyre and Sidon and such. But I believe that the location here is most likely where Cana was. If it were up farther north between Tyre and Sidon, perhaps it would have been a lot longer journey for Philip to go and get Nathanael. And so it's most likely the way the map shows it there, just a little bit north of Nazareth. And here, Jesus would have been starting his ministry in and around here, gathering those disciples, and then beginning to minister in Galilee here. So Philip goes to get Nathanael and to bring him to Jesus. Who is this disciple Nathanael? Well, we studied the Bible, and we believe that he and Bartholomew, it seems, are one in the same. Well, how do we discern that? Well, we read the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and they speak of Bartholomew. He's always listed after Philip in the list of the apostles. And those three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, always mention Bartholomew. When we get to the book of John, there's no mention of Bartholomew. The name Bartholomew is not found in the book of John. The name Nathanael is not found in Matthew, Mark, or Luke. And John mentions Bartholomew after Philip in the lists of the apostles. Not right after Philip, but he lists Bartholomew. I mean John lists, I'm sorry, Nathanael after Bartholomew. So we know that that Nathanael and Bartholomew are one and the same. Now, this name given him, Bartholomew, is actually in the Aramaic, and it's Bartholomew, and it means son of Ptolemy or son of furrows. Like when you plow a field, you get furrows. So it may very well be, it could mean that he was perhaps the son of a farmer, a plowman. Maybe Nathanael was a hillbilly, okay? If we want to understand it in a way, we might look at it. Cana, where he was from, many believe it comes from the old Hebrew word kana, meaning place of reeds. So there would have been some water and such around there, which would obviously be conducive for farming. So learning about this disciple, Nathanael. Now, Jesus gives him quite a introduction here. Behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. In whom is no guile. Now, what is guile? Well, it means craft or deceit. To be without guile would be to be a person of truth. Nathanael was a person of truth. That is, he was truthful with God. He was truthful with himself. He was truthful with others. And Jesus sees him. The only disciple that's mentioned where Jesus actually mentions his spiritual condition as he comes to Christ. He is without guile. And so we'll learn some things about Nathanael as we consider the faith under the fig tree. We see, first of all, number one, that Nathanael was a follower in the faith. Nathanael was a follower in the faith. We see that he sought to know the scriptures. He sought to know the scriptures. He says in verse 49, he wants to know how Jesus knew him. And Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." In verse 49, Nathanael's answer is, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." And here we can see that Nathanael has been in the scriptures. He has been a student of the Word of God. When he says these things to Christ, he is actually covering all three offices of Christ that are revealed in the Old Testament. He calls him first Rabbi. What are the three offices of Christ revealed in the Old Testament? Prophet, priest, and king. And so he calls him, first of all, Rabbi. What's Rabbi? A teacher. Rabbi is a teacher. And a prophet would speak forth the Word of God. They would learn the Word of God from the prophet in the Old Testament. And Jesus, the Messiah, was the prophet who was foretold by Moses in Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. Moses truly said unto the fathers, "A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things." Him shall ye hear in all things. That was Jesus Christ. That's the prophet that God raised up. Beloved, the best advice that Mary, the mother of Christ, ever gave is found in John chapter 2 in verse 5. There she says about Jesus, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. He's the one who knows. By the way, if you need some wisdom, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen. Be in this book. Whatsoever this book saith unto you, what? Do it. Amen. And you will be walking in wisdom. And listening to the prophet of God, God himself. He said, "Rabbi, thou art," he said, the Son of God. The Son of God. Now, Nathanael knew all these things from the Old Testament. New Testament wasn't written yet. He knew all these things from the Old Testament. And so he knew the divine nature of the Messiah. And the disciples would come to learn that. Jesus did many miracles when he ministered. He raised the dead. He healed the sick, raised the dead, caused the blind to see. And people wondered who he was, many. And remember in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus posed a question to his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Of course, what did they say? Well, some said you're Elias or one of the prophets, and he listened to them, and then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" And you remember Peter spoke up, and he said Matthew 16, 18, but he said, verse 16, "Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ is the Son of the living God. And Peter, what did Jesus say to Peter? He said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed that to you. He says, but my Father which is in heaven. And in Matthew 16:18, he says, and I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that's the confession that Peter made, thou art the Christ, the Son of God, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Yes, Jesus is the rock. There's scriptures that teach that. But this verse isn't teaching that. This verse is teaching that the church is built on that profession. You see, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then you're not saved. And you can't be a part of the church. And you can't confess that and mean it and not be saved. You can say that with your mouth, but you don't really mean it unless you're born again, unless you've learned that, experienced that. And he is the Son of God. So he calls him the Son of God. That's his priestly, represents his priestly ministry. It's part of the confession of becoming the church and becoming a believer in the church. Remember in John 20 and verse 31, John tells us the whole reason he wrote this letter. What's the reason? John 20, 31. He says he's written all these things that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the what? The Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. You won't have life through Jesus' name until you believe that he's the Son of God. Amen. And you receive him as your Savior. That's why he wrote the whole letter. So you see the importance of that belief. Remember, when Philip, the evangelist, was called away from great revival in Samaria, he went to the desert, the way God directed him, to a man in a carriage, and who was reading a bit of Isaiah. And Philip went up and witnessed to him and told him about Jesus. And that man believed what Isaiah the prophet had said. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He believed that message about Jesus. And as they rode on a little further, that man had listened to Philip's teachings, and they went on their way, Acts 8:36, and he said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's some water, Philip. I believe. Can I be baptized? Acts 8:37. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said what? I believe that Jesus Christ, here it is the Son of God. The Son of God. And how important that is. That represents his priestly office. He brings us to Christ. He brings us to God through himself as we receive him by faith as the Son of God who died for our sins and rose again. Prophet, priest, what else is Christ? He is king. Thou art the King of Israel. You see, he learned all these things from the scriptures. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He is king. I think about those three offices, prophet, priest, and king. Are we learning from Jesus? Are we seeking our wisdom in the scriptures? We ought to examine ourselves and realize and know that of ourselves. Be truthful with ourselves like Nathanael was. Be truthful with God like Nathanael was. He was a man without deceit, without guile. Is he our priest? Are we coming to him with our sins and confessing them? You know, these things write unto you, John wrote, that you sin not. God doesn't want you to sin as a believer. Well, I preach everybody's sins. Well, when you do, tell God about it and get it right. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus is there for, by the way. That's why he's at the right hand of the Father. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. What if I sin five times, preacher? Then go to the Lord five times. Amen. Amen. You see, David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. And I believe my own personal studies from studying the Bible, why did God call David a man after God's own heart? Was because David was very good at repenting. David knew how to repent. He messed up a whole lot. Just read your Bible. Amen. But what did he do? When he did, his heart got broken about it. He took it to God and he went on, folks. And that makes us a man after God's own heart, a believer after God's own heart. And Nathanael here is right with God the time he sees him. So we see that he had sought to know the scriptures there. What else do we see? He sought to know the Savior. He sought to know the Savior. Verse 46, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite in whom is no guile. He sought to know the Savior. Some of you might be looking at those points and you might think I got a little confused. Say, preacher, point one says, he calls him Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. That should be where he sought to know the Savior. Some of you might think that. No, see, that was with his Bible learning about Jesus. You see, and learning about the Messiah. You see, his relationship is reflected by what he did with that. It's by what he did with that. You see, he came probably to that fig tree to have his time of devotions. Whatever he was doing before Jesus met him, before he came to Jesus, he was getting right with God. Because when he got to Jesus, Jesus said, here's an Israelite in whom is no guile. I mean, that man was right with God. And what a blessing. In other words, he was wanting to know God through what he learned. So the picture it was not all the knowledge that he had that showed that he really wanted to know God. It's what he did with the knowledge that he had. You see, he wanted to be right with God. He wanted to be truthful with God. He wanted to confess his sins and be the person that God called him to be. He was one, a faithful Jew, seeking to walk according to the scriptures. He learned them. He had some presuppositions, you know. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? But you know what? He didn't let that stop him, did he? No. He was willing. Philip said, come and see. And you know what Nathanael did? He came and saw. Why? Because he wasn't going to let his suppositions go against meeting perhaps the Messiah. And so he went on by faith with his friend and to meet the Messiah. The Jews had a lot of presuppositions about the Messiah. Some of them, when they thought about Jesus saying he was the Messiah and such, and they said, how can he be? In John 7:27, howbeit we know this man from whence he is. We know where Jesus is from. He's from Nazareth. Of course, they mistakenly, many of them thought he was born in Nazareth too. We know this man whence he is, but when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Nobody knows where Christ is from when he comes. And what they're talking about is, the Bible doesn't say specifically who his earthly parents would be. He would be of what? The tribe of Judah. But as far as the immediate parents and lineage, they didn't know who immediately he would be from. And so all of a sudden, he'll just appear. They had a lot of things that they didn't know about that. And so Nathanael was maybe this could be. God can do anything. Nazareth's not a real good place for a king to come from. But maybe God will do it that way. Brother Dan's just talking about that this morning, about he chooses the base things, you know, and the weak things to do his work. And so praise God for that. But he had a right heart with God. Look at verse 47 again. Behold, an Israelite indeed, I like this, in whom is no guile. In whom is no guile. That's a powerful statement. That's a powerful statement. See, having no guile, it indicates, as I mentioned, that he is a man of truth. He's a man of truth. Jesus commended those who followed in truth. And in the faith of Abraham. Abraham believed God. In John 8:40, Jesus was condemning some of his enemies. His enemies said, "We're the children of Abraham." Of course, they were only the children of Abraham through the physical lineage. But they what? They didn't believe like Abraham, did they? His enemies. So Jesus sets them straight on that. He says, "We're the children of Abraham," in John 8:40. Jesus says, "But now you seek to kill me. A man that hath what? Told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Why? Because Abraham was a man of truth. Nathanael was a man of truth like Abraham. He was really willing to receive the scriptures and to walk in those things. He had a right heart with God. We think about being without guile is synonymous with spiritual maturity. In Psalm 32:2, we read, "Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose," what? "Spirit there is no guile." In other words, within him, there's no guile. Nathanael fit that category as he walks up to Jesus. You see, one without guile submits to the truth, and then they can be used to be a blessing to others. Why? Because they accept the truth about themselves, they accept the truth about the Savior. And by the way, when you accept the truth about yourself, we've been there already many times in messages here, when you accept the truth about yourselves, humility is the natural result. We saw the message last week, the unparalleled, unprofitable servant. We're unprofitable servants because we can't profit God in any way. If we used every opportunity that we had for God to the fullest, if we gave all of our time that we could to God to the fullest, took advantage of every opportunity, all the riches, said everything we ever ought to say, refrained from saying things we shouldn't say, if we served God perfectly, we would only be doing what we should have done, period. Which makes us all what? Unprofitable servants to God. That'll nip humility in the bud right there. And Nathanael would have been that way, a man of truth. A man of truth. What else do we see about this disciple? Well, we see, secondly, Nathanael chose his friends in the faith. Nathanael chose his friends in the faith. "Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." Now, I want to tell you something. Nathanael chose him some good friends, amen? Hey, you got a good friend when they come up onto you in the fig tree and you're praying there, whatever you're doing, and they tap you on the shoulder and say, "Hey, come here, I want you to meet somebody." Woo! I want you to meet who? The Messiah! The one you've been looking for! You see, they were expecting he was around somewhere. I imagine the disciples probably weren't much older than Jesus. He began his public ministry around the age 30 or so, which would mean the disciples' parents would have been still teaching them when Jesus was born, right? Think about this. And so when Mary brought Jesus into the temple, what did the godly people say? "This is the Messiah." Remember Simeon? Remember Anna? "The Messiah is here." Nathanael's parents maybe knew of that. Oh, it had been 30 years. It had been 3 decades since the faithful in the temple heard Anna and heard Simeon say, "The Christ is here! This is the Christ, the Son of God!" But it had been 30 years. Where is he? 3 decades. And so godly people, like Nathaniel and others, perhaps being trained by their godly parents, would be saying, it's coming. There's something going to happen. It's only three. It was just a few decades ago. We knew he came. And now here he is. Here he is. He comes. You know, out of Nazareth, and to do his ministry. Nathaniel had chose him some good friends, amen, because Philip was obviously a seeker of Christ too. And listen, we need to choose our friends amongst God's people, amen. Our best friends need to be among God's people. I'm not saying don't befriend lost people. Please do. Be friendly to them. But listen, if we're believers born again, our best friends need to be those that are seeking God. Amen. We need to be those that will be encourage us to come closer to Christ. Just like Philip said, "Hey, come on, let's go see him." We would encourage one another. Nathanael chose his friends in the faith. "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." Oh, how we need to be wise choosing our friends. And by the way, teach our children to be wise choosing their friends. Amen. When I was in high school, I was not born again. And I lived an ungodly life for my own self. And one of the times that I got suspended in high school, I came into a certain class that I had. And the teacher had written a thing on the board. It said, "It is impossible to soar with eagles when you associate with turkeys." And you know what? That teacher was right. That teacher was right. I wasn't of any use to anybody that associated me with those types except for in a negative manner. Now listen, we need to be careful what to choose. Remember, we can't profit God, but what? By his grace, we can profit one another. That's what we're here for. Amen. We share the gospel. People can profit. We build up one another by the Holy Spirit. We profit one another. We don't make God better. Nothing to add to God. But we do profit ourselves by sharing the gospel and by being the friends and the believers that God calls us to be. Thirdly, we see that Nathanael received the fortune of the faith. Nathanael received the fortune of the faith. Look at verse 47 again. Jesus saith, saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Here's a man that's right with me. Nothing to hide. Everything confessed. Listen, brethren, let's keep short lists, amen. I remember I used to, I don't think I've done this for a while, at least I haven't to my recognition. Please tell me, honey, if I have. But I used to hold a grudge. I used to have a low burn. You know what I'm saying? And one of those that you just, you know, well, I'll just, what's that called? When you get back at somebody by not saying anything? Silent treatment, yeah. And that used to be a problem years ago. And I'm thankful that I got delivered from that. But listen, we need to keep short lists, amen. Go right to God when we mess up. And keep things right. Nathanael was right with God. Right with God. And what does Jesus say? "It is right in whom is what? No guile." When I appear before Jesus Christ, I want to be right with him. And I would think that we all would. What are those words we want to hear? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," Matthew 25:21. You know what Jesus was saying to Nathanael at that point?
He was really saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're right with your God. You're right with your Father. You've taken all that you know. You're still seeking the Messiah. And you've even come to see me when you weren't too sure about some of the details. You're right on, Nathaniel. Well done. What a treasure. What a beauty to see that. Listen, we don't know. I was driving the bus the other day. And telling my wife this. Just going to pick the kids up. It just started. I hadn't picked any kids up yet. And I, something out of the corner of my eye kind of just made a little... caught my, I don't know what it was, I didn't see it very good, and this boom! And what it was, I realized it was a bird. And just above the windshield where I could see, and the big part up there with the flashing lights and all that, he had hit the bus. And so it just happened so quick, and I heard, looked in my mirror, and saw the bird fall on the road, just flopping around. That was all she wrote for that bird. I was doing probably about 45 mile an hour out there on Reservoir Road, the speed limit, and that bird probably wasn't going to make it. But you know, that bird set out that day, it's just another day, flying right along, and all of a sudden, gone. Boom. Gone. We don't know when our time is, folks. I know Lynn's friend didn't plan on having some severe chest pains this morning, or being in the hospital. We don't know. That's why we need to be right with our God, amen? Ready to meet him. Ready to meet him. By the way, here's the good part. He might come today. Amen. I don't know about you. The longer I live, the more I'm looking forward to that. Amen. And it's not just to get out of the problems of earth. Why? Because everything that I want, that I really desire for, that I yearn for, will be fulfilled when I see him. Amen. When I fall before his feet. Everything that I could, that I know that's really good for me, and that I really want will be fulfilled at that time. And by the way, yours will too, whether you realize it or not. If you're a believer, and we want to be right with him, he received the fortune of the faith. Well done. Fourthly and finally, Nathaniel was shown the future. He was shown the future of the faith. Look at verse 51. And he saith unto him, Jesus to Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now Nathanael knew his Bible. He knew where Jesus got that from. You might remember Jacob as a young man. He and his brother Esau had some disagreements. Esau wanted to kill him. So Jacob's mother said, I want you to flee out from the country and go to your dad's where your dad's parents and stuff live and find your wife. Get away from Esau for a while. So Jacob heads on out and he stops at where? Bethel. And he makes some rocks for his pillow. He took his mypillow.com thing. he couldn't form that into. He had made some rocks for his pillow. And he had a dream. You'd find that in Genesis 28. 12 and following. He dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it. You know what Jesus said? Hereafter, you will see the angels from heaven ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I'm the ladder. Anything, listen, God came down to man. Through who? Jesus Christ. God became a man. And the only way a man gets to heaven is how? Through Jesus Christ. God descended to man through Jesus Christ. And man can only ascend to heaven, what? Through Jesus Christ. He is the ladder. And from henceforth, him being revealed as Messiah at this time, from henceforth, all blessings would come through the name of Christ. They didn't know him by the name of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. But they knew him now. And ever since then, it's all the blessings come through who? From God, come through Jesus Christ. He is our life, the Bible says. He is our all, the Bible says. And it's because of him, by the way, we'll be in heaven and what he's done. And so Nathanael was shown the future of the faith. You say, well, how well did Nathanael do? Well, we think about Nathanael, the disciple of Christ. And historians tell us in the second half of the first century that much of the area in Armenia, now you have Israel right in around here somewhere. You have Armenia, biblical Armenia, up in around here and here. And Nathanael from Jerusalem, first he went east. If you go this way, there's another, the next peninsula down is India. And so Nathanael, first of all, history tells us, went east to India. And then Nathanael went up after that to minister in Armenia. And Abijan is the current name of the place. Now he ministered up here. He ministered along this portion of the Caspian Sea, witnessing the gospel. And popular tradition tells us that area was first evangelized by Jude. In 43 to 66 AD, and that the apostle Bartholomew or Nathanael joined him in 60 AD, and in evangelizing that area. And Nathanael died in Azerbaijan, I mentioned, which is, I'm going to say, it's right in here. And he died in the city of Durban, we're told. How so? He was whipped to death in 68 A.D., is what the church history tells us. Could you imagine that? Being whipped to death. So Nathanael, as most of the apostles did, all but the apostle John, also became a martyr for the Lord Jesus Christ. And how you and I can be challenged, amen, in following Jesus Christ. And first of all, receiving him as our Savior, becoming born again. And then secondly, becoming a disciple. That is, following Christ by his grace and learning of him. We ought to follow him. Nathanael was faithful. Who deserves heaven? Nobody. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. What good works get you to heaven? None. The Bible says it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. So if you're here this morning and you think you're going to get to heaven by good works or by deserving it, you're wrong. You say, well, what do I need to do? Well, you know what you need to do is this. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. What must he do to go to heaven? You have to believe the gospel. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 says, how that Christ is died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again. So I believe that, preacher. That's good. You're doing what the devil's done so far. The devil believes that.
But now here's what you have to do. You have to repent of your sins. Repent and believe the gospel, the Bible says. What's repenting? Recognize you're a sinner. You've sinned against God. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, Revelation 20, 14 and 15. That's the punishment for all sin. So how do I get delivered from that? Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Amen. You've got to believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died for your sins and rose again. Salvation is a gift. You can't get by works. And by the way, you can't keep by works. That's why you got to cry out for mercy. A simple prayer, something like this: Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe you're the Son of God. I don't want to die and go to hell for my sins. I'm sorry for my sins. As best I know how, I trust you. Forgive me and save me. I'm trusting only in you, Jesus. Please give me eternal life and forgive me. In your own words. Don't have to be in those words. It has to be meant what? From the heart, though, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus looked at Nathanael, he said, a man in whom is no guile. God looks inside of us. He knows if we mean it. You just say some prayer, all you did was say some prayer. But if you say even some prayer and mean it, guess what? God hears it. And you will be saved just that quick. Just that quick. If you're here today and you haven't done that, don't know for sure you'd be in heaven. I hope that you'd do that. For all of us who are here, we can follow in the footsteps of Nathanael. Amen. Receive the light as it comes. Have the fellowship under that fig tree. Amen. I hope you're under the fig tree this morning. I hope we're under the fig tree often. Amen. And as we seek to know our Lord more and more, and to love Him and to love others, because that's what God has for every believer in every church. And I'm thankful that He gives us the opportunity to serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You've been so good to us. And Lord, if there's one here who would pray to receive Christ as Savior, I pray that they would just simply confess that they're a sinner, want to be saved and forgiven, want the gift of eternal life, confess in their heart that You are the Son of God, You've died for their sins and risen again, and then believing it, just ask You to forgive them and save them. I pray they do that right now. And I pray they'd let us know that they've done that so that we can help them grow. Give them some literature. Encourage them and pray for them. Let us know after the service. Let me know. Let some folks in our church know. Father, I thank You for Nathanael and all of the disciples who set so many examples of how we ought to be as Christians. We know they had their mistakes, but they were human. It just gives us hope because we have our own mistakes too. But dear God, we can follow You with the same spirit they did because we have the same spirit. We have You living in our hearts if we've trusted You as Savior, if we've been born again. And Father, help us to be more faithful as the days grow darker. Help us to shine brighter as this world grows darker, calling good evil and evil good. And Father, help us to be looking for Your return. And we might hear those words that Nathanael heard, really, in a sense. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.